Good morning, everyone. Well, the reading for this morning was only 38 verses, but really it should have been chapters 42 right through to 47, shouldn't it? That's what it's about. And I'm going to preach on all of those verses this morning. So settle back. But Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And as we look at how you have dealt with your people over the years, we thank you that you still deal with us today. And so we pray that from your word you may encourage us this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when was the last time that you had a dream? Anybody have a dream last night? No, I won't. Can you remember your dreams when you wake up? Oh dear. And was it important? Was it really important? And who did it affect? You or other people? Oh, it doesn't matter. On Thursday at the clergy retirement breakfast, one of the blokes there was telling us about how he had a vision. And it's not unusual. He tells us perhaps each month that he's had a dream. And he can remember it, and he relates it to us sometimes. Or are you a person that has a vision? Anybody have visions? No? Shakes of heads? Yes. I once, during the ministry, I've had two people who have told me about visions that they've had, and I can actually still remember them. I'm not going to tell you what they were this morning. But if you've had a vision or something like that, I'd like to hear about it, perhaps after when we're having a cup of tea. As for me, I can never remember my dream when I wake up in the morning. I know I've had one, but I think, what was it about? I can't even remember it. And I've never had a vision, so I'm not a really very interesting person when I'm asleep. It's a very different situation in the Middle East. It's not unusual for those people to have dreams, to have visions. And for that reason, Christians are encouraged to pray during the Muslim month of Ramadan that they might have a vision of the Lord Jesus. And people have had that, with the result being that they've become Christians. I don't know whether any of you receive the CMS monthly prayer diary news. But if you do, you would have realised that a week ago, one of the missionaries in a particular area asked that the people, the Muslims having visions, might have had a vision of Jesus and that they might read his word and come to see and to know him. Well, our reading for today is in a way about a dream or dreams that Joseph had, and how they not only affected his life, but the lives of millions of others, including his own family. You know, families can get into terrible situations. We hear of families where a parent has killed their children, and where children have killed their parents. We hear of families where people living together don't even talk to each other. I've had some weddings where the parents of the bride and groom have failed to attend. Great start for a young couple, isn't it? There are families where one member is favoured over the rest. And I've seen some families where farm situations have really been a terrible result in the end of that particular sadness. Well, I won't go on about it all. But Genesis 37 through to the end of the book is about a broken and dysfunctional family. It tells us about a father, Jacob, who showed his favouritism towards one of his 11 sons over all the rest. So much so that They hated him. They were prepared to kill him. But add to this Joseph's dream. He was a dreamer. And his dreams he shared with his family. I think that was his first mistake. Because it singled him out as being over and above the rest of the family. And his family saw that he was trying to make something of himself. But the opportunity came for his family, or for his brothers, to kill him. But instead, they sold him to Ishmaelite traders who took and sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. But Joseph was doing well until Potiphar's wife intervened. And I know that you've heard about the rest of that story over the last few weeks. But Joseph's ability to interpret, or rather his belief that God could interpret dreams through him, eventually made him second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. Because of his position, the lives of millions of people, not only in Egypt, but in the surrounding countries, came to rely upon Egypt and Joseph for their saving food. His father and brothers, as we heard, were one such family. Jacob told his sons to go to Egypt to buy grain. Not all of them. The youngest, Benjamin, was to stay home. It would seem that in Egypt, foreigners were required to be interviewed by Joseph, and he would say yea or nay to their request for grain. It was at this meeting that the dream of Joseph was fulfilled. It was here that his 10 brothers fell down before him. But only Joseph knew what was happening. Only he was aware of what was taking place, because Joseph would have been unrecognizable. By now, he looked like an Egyptian. He dressed like an Egyptian. He spoke Egyptian. But eventually, Joseph granted their request and they returned home. Less one brother who remained in prison. When the grain ran out, they were taken back to Egypt. This time with their younger brother, even though their father was not happy about it. Because if he hadn't, there would have been no release for Simeon. But as a result of this second visit, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, pointing out how it had been God's hand that had been over all that had happened. And it really is quite amazing that Joseph did not hold what they had done to him against him. That's forgiveness, isn't it? That's real forgiveness. Because you can say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. But for Joseph, he forgave his brothers. He didn't hold it against them. Joseph ordered them to return to their families and bring them back to Egypt. And all this happened. But the pharaohs changed. A new pharaoh came, not knowing what Joseph had done. And as a result, the Israelites, the Hebrews, became slaves, where they were slaves for 400 years. Now, this is a story of a dysfunctional family, a father who loved a son more than others, brothers who had set upon their own, and a brother who, regardless of what it is that they sought to do to him, rose to great power and authority, and who was prepared to forgive those who treated him badly. In all of this story I've recounted this morning, I've left out one person who could see and use all of the events that took place in order to achieve his purpose, his plan. And of course, that one person was God. 70 people went to Egypt, and it was there over the next 400 years they grew to become a great nation, even if they were slaves. But God had not forgotten this motley group. When I think about all that happened to this family, this nation, and how God rescued them, I think of how we as sinners, a family of sinners, in God's sight, were prepared to let one man, one good, righteous, and gracious man, be held responsible for the sins that we have committed. We didn't sell him into slavery, but he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He wasn't placed in prison, but he was flogged and battered with fists. He was spat upon, and a crown of thorns was placed upon his head, and then he was crucified. This Lord Jesus was willing to allow all this to happen for the sake of winning our freedom from bondage of sin, that we might be set free to come to God. Jesus could say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," as they hammered him onto the cross. He doesn't hold our sins against us. Nothing can overcome the plans of God. As we look at what God has done, we should be thankful that he has done it all for us. You see, Joseph was God's man in Egypt for the Hebrews. But our Lord Jesus is his man for us. We praise God for the freedom that we enjoy. Freedom that was won for us on a cross, the cross of Calvary. Our freedom from the bondage of sin. And it's before him that we need to kneel, because he is our Saviour and he is our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you watched over the family of Jacob. We thank you for the dreams of Joseph and the fulfillment of those dreams, and how you rescued your people, and through those people you have given us our Lord Jesus Christ. But we thank you for his love of us, his willingness to suffer and to die for us. We thank you for his resurrection and new life, life that we have for eternity. Father God, we thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us, and we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.